Once more, the Gregory Party has returned safely from the Magic Island, bringing with them the entire colony of Euclideans from the strange underwater city. Mrs. Gregory has arranged the funds with which to endow a sort of combined laboratory, college, and prison to house these scientists and allow them to continue their work under guard. Naturally, it's been a busy time for our friends. We find them now 1 week after their arrival at Los Angeles. Jerry and Joan are out seeing the town. Joan for her first real view of our world, and Jerry showing her around. In the radio room in Mrs. Gregory's home, Captain Bradford is explaining to Pat why he believes certain things.
But it doesn't make sense, Tex.
Why, sure it does, Pat. Now listen to this. G-47 disappeared, and that's the last we'll ever hear of him.
Why should that explain it?
We've broken up his colony, imprisoned all his co-workers, and soon the Magic Island will be only a memory. G-47 couldn't stand that.
Oh, you're wrong, Tex. I'm sure you're just as wrong as you can be. G-47 has given his life to the study of science, and he'll never quit.
That part of it may be all right, but we'll never hear of him again. And that brings up another problem.
It brings up a good many, I think.
Oh, forget it, Pat. I didn't mean it that way. I was thinking that now these scientists are without a head. They've looked at G-47 to lead them in all their work. Just how much are they going to accomplish without him?
I've thought of that, Tex. And I've asked a number of scientists and educators to take over the job, but none of them seem very keen about it.
We'll have to get someone.
The only chance is Professor Hubbard.
Sure, he'd be the ideal man, but he's in Europe.
No, he arrived in town today. I saw it in the Distinguished Arrivals column.
Is he here to stay?
No, vacationing, the article said.
And you expect a man of his reputation, who's probably taken the first vacation he's had in years, to step into a job such as the running of that institution?
I'm not lacking in nerve, anyhow. I sent a note to his hotel asking him to call tonight.
Well, you know him and I don't. You'll have to handle him.
And that reminds me. If you're going to try to call McLeod, you'd better do it now. The professor may be here any time.
Good idea, Pat. Poor old Mac must think it's a funny kind of life down there in that underwater city.
It's awfully lonesome for him, with just those two sailors out of the crew waiting for weeks for another boat to come and take them off.
Yeah, but don't forget the pigs and the chickens and cows. Mac's got plenty of company.
Well, even so, it's not a pleasant job.
Of course it isn't, Pat. I was only joking. Mac's a grand guy or he wouldn't have volunteered to stay there. But I couldn't stand the thought of all those splendid animals being destroyed when we flood Euclidea.
And you did perfectly right, Tex. The Euclideans have developed domestic livestock to a fine point, and we'll be able to do a good deal with that collection.
In the meantime, I'd better try to get Mac. Bradford to McLeod. Bradford to McLeod. Gregory home station to Euclidea. Hello, Mac. Hello. Why should it take Mac so long to answer? I told him to be ready at this time every night.
Well, remember that he doesn't claim to be a radio engineer, and after all, we're 4,000 miles away from Euclidea. Don't expect him to operate that radio as well as Thales did.
No, that's the trouble. No one does anything as well as those blame Euclideans did it.
Hello, Captain Bradford. This is Angus McLeod. Calling Captain Bradford. Can you hear me, Captain?
You bet I can, Mac. Go right ahead with your report.
I have little to report. All is well.
He'd say that if the city was flooded.
Hasn't anything happened, Mac?
Not a single solitary thing.
No water leaking into the city from the island?
None. We found a half dozen steel safety gates in the tunnel leading down from the island. We closed them. And there's no danger now.
Well, it's only about another 8 or 9 days, Mac, and that cattle boat will arrive there to pick you up.
Aye, Captain. I'll be ready for it. Is that all?
That's all.
Then if you'll excuse me, I'll get along to my pigs. Good night.
Night, Mac.
I wonder if Mac doesn't realize that conversation is free.
He sure treats it like an antique, but he gets his work done.
And instead of being lonesome, he's worrying about his pigs. Euclidea does funny things to people.
Yes?
Don't mind me, Mrs. Gregory.
Well, come in.
Jerry Hall, how many times have I told you to say it is Joan and I, not Joan and me?
Oh, okay, then. It's us.
That'll do nicely, Jerry.
What have you two been doing?
We have been enjoying ourselves.
You have?
Well, now what?
Well, we were supposed to go to a show after I took Joan through one of the big stores downtown, but we were still in the store at closing time. And what do you think we were doing?
Whatever it was, Joan looks like she enjoyed it.
It is very nice. I want Jerry to take me down there again tomorrow.
Oh, I will not.
Well, for heaven's sakes, what is it?
Well, Joan got started riding those blame escalators, and I couldn't get her off them.
Oh, Joan.
Is that so funny?
Well, it wasn't funny to me after about the 200th time we rolled up and down.
You must have had quite a time, Jerry.
Yeah, I did.
I don't blame you a bit, Joan. I ride those things a lot more than I need to, just for fun.
There, you see, the captain likes to ride them.
Okay, then, okay. The next day you feel one of those up and down tours coming on. But the captain told me.
Well, I wish I could have seen you. Oh, Joan, I'm so happy to have you back home and riding escalators in a store rather than elevators on Euclidea.
Yes, you're a lot safer here.
Oh, gee. Golly whisk.
What is it, Jerry?
We forgot.
Oh, Jerry, so we did.
Something important?
Well, I don't know. But there's a funny-looking old man down in the living room.
A man in the living room,
Jerry? Yes, Mother. Mm-hmm. Jerry and I met him at the gate, and he said that you had asked him to call.
Professor Hubbard.
Sounds like
him. We mustn't keep him waiting. Come, Tex.
How about Jerry and Joan?
Oh, don't worry about us. We'll find something to do.
I wish we might ride those escalators again.
Oh.
No, I think you two should come along. The professor is a very interesting man, probably the outstanding scientist in the world today, and a man of whom I'm going to ask a very great favor.
Oh, sure. We'll be glad to go if you want us.
Well, then let's hurry and I'll go.
Should we not lock the door of this radio room?
Oh, Joan, dear. We're in Los Angeles now, not on Euclidea. Oh,
we had to be careful once, though, when Hollywood was full of Euclideans.
These are very beautiful stairs, Mother. But would it not be nice if they were
Joan, if you ask your mother to put a moving stairway in here, Well, I'll think of something to do to you.
Now, you two be quiet. You're going to meet an important man, and Mrs. Gregory is going to ask him
quiet,
to...
Quiet, Tex. Good evening, Professor Hubbard.
Mrs. Gregory.
Oh, I'm sorry you've been kept waiting, but the young people forgot to tell us you were here.
That is the usual penalty for age, is it not? To be forgotten by the young.
So good of you to come, Professor. This is Captain Bradford. Tex, Dr. Hubbard.
Heard a lot about you, Professor. This is a real pleasure.
That pleasure is mutual, Captain. I have long wanted to meet so able a scientist who was level-headed enough to think of other things occasionally.
May I present my daughter, Joan? We've just had Joan with us a short time.
You need not tell me of that, Mrs. Gregory. The story of your daughter's discovery on that unique island in the South Seas is common property. You are an interesting young lady, lovely as your mother. And to be interesting and lovely is an accomplishment.
And this is Jerry Hall.
You were one of the searching party, were you not, Jerry?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, I'm not interesting or lovely, but I got as much fun out of it as the rest of them did.
Yes, you would. Well, Mrs. Gregory, it's a genuine pleasure to see you again, and I should like nothing better than to spend an evening talking about the days when my name was little known, and you generously financed an expedition for me. But the urgency in your note leads me to believe that this is more than a social call.
It is. And if you'll all make yourselves comfortable, I'd like to outline a plan I have, and then ask my favor of you.
Anything within my power?
You can't imagine the sort of favors I've learned to ask in the last few months. To begin at the beginning, we found this strange island with Joan safely living there, but these men, Euclideans they called themselves, were not too friendly. And knowing the captain had a formula they would give much to have, they made us prisoners, in the hope of securing the formula as ransom. Well, we managed to escape, however, and after several attempts, used the same formula to capture their underwater city.
I am aware of all that. Now, you have brought these Euclideans, as they choose to call themselves, back here under guard. Place them in an endowed institution where they may continue their almost fanatic pursuit of science. But you are making sure their discoveries are to be used only for good in the world. Is that correct?
Perfectly.
You seem well informed on this whole thing.
I am well informed. You may be surprised when you learn just how well informed I am. I know that your reason for inviting me to call here this evening was for the purpose of asking me to take charge of your scientific, college.
How did you guess that?
It was hardly a guess. Your colony is without a head now. Those men need a leader. And you neglected the little matter of bringing their leader with you.
Tex, do you realize what the professor has just said?
Yes, but what's more important? I'm beginning to get an idea why he said it and how he knew all about this.
I am pleased with you, Captain Bradford. You think very rapidly. And unless I am much mistaken, the young people are wondering if certain characteristics of voice and manner are not familiar to them.
Jerry! Do you?
Yeah, I do.
But you've been active in Europe all these years.
In my spare time, I have managed to be seen in scientific circles in Europe, that is true. But I spent little time there.
You are G-47?
Yes. I am G-47, head of Euclidea, and greatest scientist in the world.
Jerry, think of that.
My head won't work anymore. You think.
Well, Professor, you place us in a strange position. You realize, of course, that your identity as a professor is established. That it would be utterly impossible for us to prove that you were ever G-47.
That is true.
This is all a little too much for me.
Well, look, why not let the professor, or G-47, or whatever he wants to call himself, take charge of your college?
I think that is an excellent idea, Mother.
You hit it, Jerry. Regardless of the identity of this gentleman, he is the only man in the world who can get from that group of scientists the treasures they are capable of making.
I am glad you are so sensible. I will accept the position as head of this novel institution and will conduct its affairs to the best of my ability. One thing I must have understood. No one was ever harmed on Euclidean. And in the future, any of my people who desire to return to your society must be allowed to do so. As for myself, I had rather be a Euclidean than a free citizen of any country. Tomorrow morning, if you care to visit your scientific colony, you will find me working with the rest. And I will never leave without your permission. Good night. Good night. Good night.
He's gone, vanished as silently down that hall as he used to do on Euclidea.
He'll take the job and run your place to perfection.
That gave me a strange sensation.
Me too. There's something mighty powerful about that man.
Indeed there is, Jerry. There's something big about any man who'll go into a prison of his own free will to be near the thing he loves. And G-47 loves science.